The Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks Martha, do you believe this? And as we hear those words of Jesus spoken to us today, we ought to answer that question individually for ourselves. Do I believe this? Do I believe that if I have faith in Jesus and in his promise of eternal life, that I will live even if I experience bodily death? Because bodily, physical death is inevitable for each and every one of us. Every single one of us is going to die one day. But what do we do with that reality? Do we despair? No. We turn to the Lord for the answer to the problem of death. He has revealed in the raising of Lazarus, which foreshadowed his own bodily resurrection from the dead, that he, Jesus, is more powerful than death itself. Death does not have the last word, and death cannot keep him down. And this triumph over death isn't just for Jesus, but it's something that he has the power to give. And indeed, he does give it. How? He gives us this gift of triumph over death, principally in our baptism, which most of us have already received, and several more are preparing to receive at the Easter Vigil this year. But for all of us, I think it's very necessary for us to reflect on the reality that our baptism does something in us. It unites us to Christ in his triumph over death. And it is the Lord's way of giving that triumph over death to us as a free gift. There's absolutely nothing that we could do to merit such a gift. And there's nothing that we could do to overcome death on our own. No, that gift comes to us because Jesus is more powerful than death, and he desires for us to share in his triumph over death. So when we say to Jesus, yes, I want to have that gift of eternal life. I want for my death not to be the end for me, but the beginning of something even greater. When we say that to the Lord gives us that pledge of eternal life in our baptism. And this is something that lasts forever in us. Once we're baptized, once we are incorporated into Jesus' triumph over death, that has a permanent effect in us, in our souls. We sometimes call that the sacramental character of baptism. In our baptism, the Lord prepares a place for us in the Father's house, in the heavenly Jerusalem, which he will never take away. And as long as we don't forfeit this invitation through sin or turning away from God, we have a founded hope that we will be taken to that eternal dwelling at the end of our earthly life. And that on the last day, when Jesus returns in glory to judge the living and the dead, he will open our graves and have us rise from them. Meaning what? Our bodies and our souls will be reunited again for all eternity. This is what Jesus was referring to in his discourse with Martha in the gospel regarding the resurrection on the last day. Jesus points to the final resurrection at the end of time, not just as an event that will happen later on the last day, but no, he says, I am the resurrection. This is the fifth of the seven I am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John, all of which point to his divine authority and his power to do things that only God can do. Why? Because he's God incarnate. Jesus has the power to make this promise, whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And this is closely linked with an earlier I am statement of Jesus from John chapter 6, where he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And here, living forever refers to eternal life that transcends physical death. Eternal life is not simply an empty platitude, but no, it points to a reality that is to come. We say in the Creed, Sunday after Sunday, I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We believe that this life of the world to come is a reality that will come to pass. And we hear about this reality actually every time we celebrate a funeral mass. One particular text of the funeral liturgy says, and I quote, "Indeed, for your faithful, O Lord, life is changed, not ended. And when this earthly dwelling turns to dust, an eternal dwelling is prepared for them in heaven," unquote. The church wants us to remember that in our baptism, the Lord makes the promise to us that our lives are not over when we take our last breath. Because of our baptism, we have an eternal dwelling prepared for us. He has opened it, and he has prepared it for us. And this should cause us great rejoicing. Now, you may be thinking, well, Deacon Ryan, that's very nice and all, but death still hurts. After all, Jesus wept at Lazarus's death. And whenever someone we love dies, it hurts. And you'd be right. There is a sting or hurt of death that still remains. I've experienced that firsthand myself. 2 years ago at the seminary, one of our most beloved priests, Monsignor Dan Trapp, fell ill very suddenly with a bacterial infection. He was in the hospital for a few weeks, and for a little while it looked like he was improving and stabilizing, but then he quickly took a turn for the worse and became unresponsive because his body was wearing out, most likely from all of the intense treatment that he had been receiving. He died at about 3 p.m. on January 26th, 2024. And after he passed, we hosted one of the times of visitation for him at the seminary. Monsignor Trapp had served as a spiritual director at the seminary from 1989 until his death in 2024. And the place was just filled with so many priests who had had him as a director when they were in the seminary. His death was uniquely difficult. So many of these priests and seminarians, you know, because of their ministry, they're around funerals and death all the time. And yet, they were overcome with emotion. Why? Because this priest, who had shaped so much of their lives, just wasn't there anymore. And so many parishioners also, whom he served as pastor on Detroit's east side, they also came to the visitation, and everybody was just overcome with grief. Because even though we may know and believe in the promise of the resurrection, death is still extremely difficult and painful, especially when someone we love dies. But I remember being at his funeral and hearing the ritual text at the very beginning of the Mass when the casket is sprinkled with holy water, and hearing this text reassured me that Monsignor Trapp was indeed in the Lord's hand, and that I could give my grief over to the Lord and trust in his promise of the resurrection for Monsignor. The ritual text, we hear at every Catholic funeral when the casket is sprinkled with holy water, says, "In baptism, Daniel died with Christ and rose with him to new life. May he now share with him eternal glory." And so it is for every one of us. In our baptism, we die with Christ and rise with him to new life. And so we wait in hope-filled expectation that our place in the kingdom of heaven has indeed been prepared, and that we will be raised on the last day because of our baptism into Christ. And we also recall this reality as we draw close to Passion Tide, as we prepare to witness several of our brothers here at St. Mary's who are going to receive that pledge of eternal life from the Lord in just a couple weeks at the Easter Vigil. But now, let's turn our attention to the upcoming days of Passion Tide, where we will remember and relive the reality of our Lord's suffering for our sake, his suffering all the way to the end, and on the other side of it, the reality of his victorious triumph over death, which is our founded hope for everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.